I lost everything. That dog was a final gift for my dying wife.
People keep asking if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan. Sorry, I'm all jacked up. This is Regan.
This is Jess. I'm not jacked up. I'm good.
What are you drinking?
What are you jacked up on?
It's Crystal Light with caffeine in it.
I've heard jacked in front of a lot of prepositions, but not up. You know what? We're happy campers.
Because Surge is back.
Surge is back. And I'm waiting for Josta to come back. And we're happy campers, Regan, to be talking about what today?
We have three topics, as always. Topic number one is, who is the greatest assassin in a movie? Topic number two is, what is your favorite joke? And topic number three is, what's the worst effect that marijuana has had on you or a friend?
Weed!
Yeah, man. Answer that question on weed, man.
Yeah.
And speaking of weed, we are pleased as punch to have our guest, old-time friend, Public Access alum, Comedia Gogo, old school. We've been going old school CAG the past couple podcasts.
Yeah.
Very happy that he is the only person to mention us in Wikipedia. Our good friend Shaggy, Jason Gossard. How's it going today?
It's going well. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, I'm happy that you're back.
Absolutely.
And we finally took a picture with you, which we didn't last time. It was Ice Cube.
I just had to put a picture of Ice Cube just to represent us, our conversation. It was Ice Cube.
So, Shaggy, the curator of Puro Slam, is there's a big event happening. What's going on?
On first Friday in October, we will be throwing ourselves, because nobody else is interested in doing it, a quinceañera. If that's how you pronounce it.
Quinceañera.
There's an A in there, so I'm trying to pronounce the A. Quinceañera. I can't roll my R. I can't roll my N and hit the R at the same time.
My favorite thing about Shaggy, he runs something called Puro Slam. And he's having a quinceañera.
Yes. So, and there will be mariachis there, and a pinata, and lots of good
jalapenos
for sure.
Yeah,
so, there will be a pinata.
There will be a it's being made. Yes, by a poet. It's being handmade.
Is it the number 10?
I don't know what it is.
Ooh, surprise!
So I gave her cash and free reign to do whatever she wants.
Now, if you've ever been to Puro Slam, it's a San Antonio staple. And if you don't know what Puro Slam is, then you're obviously not cool.
This is true.
But if we had to guess,
or not from here.
Not cool. Okay. Like, there's people that aren't from here.
That's true.
They know.
That's true.
About Puro Slam. Now, Shaggy, let's all of us, if we had to guess what pinata would represent Puro Slam, what do we think that pinata would be? What do you think, Shaggy?
I have no clue.
A pin?
I would like to know what others think.
I would love for it to be a giant visor.
That would be genius.
Right?
That would be.
Like,
had I commissioned it, I may request that.
The visor.
We still give away visors.
That last one I went to, you had that dude that just did terrible. He got a visor.
He wasn't happy about it.
He was
one of the few. He was in no way happy.
Explain a visor to people who don't know.
One guy came out. This is like 10 years ago. Sam's Burger Joint. It was like 30 degrees. This guy showed up in tennis shorts, a tennis like polo shirt, and a tennis visor. He read a poem. His poem got a 7.3, which out of 30 is not good. He got off the stage and some dude in the back, Keech. You guys know Keech?
Yeah, dog fucker.
Keech yells, score the visor. So we dragged the guy back on stage. We scored the visor. The visor got an 11.3, which was 4 points higher than the poem. So since that day, I always have two or three visors in store. And if anybody scores lower than an 11.3, they win a visor
that has
the words written on it. I scored lower than the visor at Puro Slam.
One of the greatest things ever in Poetry Slam history, I think.
When we charged the cover, if you won one and wore it back, you got in free.
Nice.
Now that we don't
charge a cover, it's just a mark of shame.
Has anyone come in with the visor since?
You guys know Vindell?
No.
So Vindell, who was the bartender at Sin 13 or Atomics or whatever that place does, he won several. And he wore them. He wore them with pride.
Wow, dude.
So.
Did he set out to win the visor?
No. Those who set out to win usually don't.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to be that.
Because if you're that bad, people will laugh.
People appreciate you being that bad. Yeah, you really have to be.
I'm going to win a visor, Shaggy.
You have to. It's hard.
Well, no, you, there's no way. No. It's almost impossible for you to win a visor. Dude. You're that funny, dude.
No, dude.
You're like so funny.
No, I am going to go. Here's where it's going to. You guys are going to like, yeah, you'll win. I'm going to try really hard.
You'll really good. Still win. You'll do fine.
Because the thing is, it's got to be a combination of bad mic technique, bad speech, bad poetry, no freaking charisma. Like, you've got to have all of those
and
things.
Not bad enough to have the pity of the judges. If you're so bad, you get judged.
Where you're like autistic or something.
Like, oh, I'm going to give him a five.
Or you're like that girl who's doing it. Like,
you got to be an untalented dude. Sorry to everyone who's won one. But yeah, in some level, you have to be an untalented douchebag. So,
now let me ask you this: besides the bartender, have there been anybody that has won the visor that has come back and is like a crowd favorite now? Like, is a good poet?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, no, he's not a good poet, but he's a crowd favorite. He's a crowd favorite. Chris the Haiku Bike Guy, if you're listening, he without a doubt, he's won several. But he's also a crowd favorite. So
damn,
you love to hate him.
That's awesome. I if I had to think of what the pinata for Puto Slam would be, it would probably be a Brockenhyman figure. It would be someone dressed in black with glasses and a zero, holding a zero scorecard. Yeah. What about you, Jess?
It'd be a notepad, sprinkles of blood.
Yeah,
very depressing and doesn't really fit at all.
It's a talented pinata maker.
Yeah, well, I think you're gonna want to see that.
Out of the 15 years that you've been doing Puto Slam, Shaggy, what's your top memory? I was about to say favorite.
My top memory. I'm actually gonna publish a list. I put out this newsletter now, so it's like a monthly newsletter. So the next one that comes out in October is gonna have my 15 top moments.
Nice.
So my top moment, 15 years happened at On the Half Shell about 2 years ago. Yeah. Okay, DJ Donnie D's our DJ.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Really quiet dude. Probably the most talented by far. One of the most talented DJs in the country by far. And he's never said a word on the mic. He's told a joke once. In like the 12 years he's been doing it. Otherwise he hides back there. He doesn't like the spotlight. Awesome guy. So about 2 years ago, we're at On the Half Shell. Some poet I've never seen before. He comes up and he's like, "Hey man, play this song for me." He asked Donnie to request a song. And anytime we do that, Donnie's like, "Dude, this guy requested a song. What do we play?" And we just pick the worst song possible. We look at the guy. We try to figure out what he won't like, and we play that. So, we do that to the guy. We end up playing some like bad Ting Ting song or some really just bad like dance number at the time. And he gets up there and the first thing out of his mouth is like, "Dude, I don't know, man. I don't know about this venue. This DJ, he's not that good." The crowd immediately goes, "Whoa." Donnie stands up, walks around his table, pushes the guy out of the way and goes, "I got something to say." And the crowd just loses their shit. And he's like, "Motherfucker." And he just rants off. "I won this and this and this and this. And I've been doing this and this and this. Now, read your poem. I want to see how good it is." And he sits down. Guy just, I think he won a visor.
Yeah,
he walked out of the venue. He got booed out. But it was just.
That's like insulting the mother. Yeah. Like,
I didn't think you could try to insult Donnie D. Would just be like, no, I'm not going to rise to it. But he, something about this guy rubbed him the wrong way. And it was just one of my. This great.
That's fucking awesome.
A sleeping giant woke up and just ripped somebody a new.
Way to go, Cody Odell.
What?
If you guys listen to our past podcast, Cody probably offended Donnie D. Bet you anything was Cody.
It could have been.
Way to go, man.
He's a douche. What do you call the visor winning guy?
An untalented douchebag.
Untalented douchebag.
No, Cody's not untalented, but I think he would get a visor at Puto Slam.
But he's not so much a douchebag.
Thanks for being on the podcast, Cody. Shaggy. So where can people go?
Southtown 101.
Southtown 101, guys. We're celebrate the quinceanera. Now, are you going to have...
The quinceanera will be at the Limelight.
Oh, okay.
First Friday.
Right.
We'll be at the Limelight for that. Okay. We'll be on the same airstrip.
That's beautiful. Yes.
But the normal show is Tuesday nights.
Yes.
But first Friday...
Yes. Donnie D will be there.
Now, are you going to have a court like with escorts and stuff?
What we're going to do is we're going to have the plan is to have a court in which all the pairs represent a team from each of the 15 years.
Oh,
so it'll be poets from all that. Each of the poets will perform like what we consider as sort of their classic poem, you know, from
hip-hop
the day.
Love. So, Monique Martin.
Wow.
Yeah, Monique was trying to make it. Then she got a new job and she couldn't.
Way to go, Monique. Thanks a lot, man.
Congratulations.
Way to go to aspire to be something.
Yeah.
She's listening, right?
Yeah, she's probably listening. Yeah. Come on, Mo. 15 years down the drain just because I want to type.
Wait, what? What?
Yeah, man. So, I hope you're in the friggin' the poultry section. She's vegan.
I know. But why specifically chicken?
I didn't want to be a dick.
Okay.
And wish that ill of Mo. So, you know, we have a lot of, you know, listeners from Austin, a lot of vegan listeners, man. And
I don't think if you were to do a Venn diagram of our listeners and vegans,
all vegans.
No, I'm sure the intersection's pretty
big
tiny.
V.
No.
You eat meat, right, Jake? Yeah. No.
No. Vegetarian.
But not vegan.
Not vegan, no.
No. Jeez.
How about that Earth Burger?
Earth Burger's good.
It is.
It tastes like a real burger, right? My memory of what a real burger tastes like was Earth Burger.
Since
I've had the beard. So, like
25 years?
Yeah. 88.
Wow, that's awesome.
Since you had a real burger.
Yeah.
It's good.
Incredible.
Yeah. The thing that blew my mind was they have a fish sandwich or fishless sandwich. And I didn't know what to expect. I got out of curiosity expecting that, okay, well, whatever this is, I've never had vegan fish. But man, I was totally surprised how good it was. The only thing that they did was that they had a vegan or vegetarian tartar sauce, and it was using yogurt. And then I was like, okay, that's not tartar sauce. That's yogurt with some cucumbers. but that fake fish was like, holy shit, this is flaky. This is like fish.
What was it made out of?
I don't know. Fucking the stuff.
Fish.
The stuff.
Did Garrett Morris come out?
Earth Burger. It's a fast food veggie burger place.
Now, there's a lot of trust that goes into eating at establishments like that. I bet you anything it was fish.
I've always thought that was a conspiracy. I was like, man, this is really good fake chicken. Yeah, fake chicken.
They just got the cheapest chicken. Like, it's worse than going to like a regular, like, chain restaurant.
Yeah, because that's what like normally like vegan or veggie chicken strips are. They taste like the tendon.
They taste like
the cheapest nuggets. Still good. It's a great substitute.
Yeah, the funniest thing, Shaggy, they were tell you the potluck story that Comedy Go-Go had, and Mo brought vegan spare ribs.
She brought vegan riblets.
And they were basically mini McRibs.
Yeah.
You know, like the McRib is probably not meat at all. Like a vegan could probably eat a McRib. And that's what the texture it had. And it even had a little bone squares or whatever. Mm-hmm. Really great barbecue sauce. And then Joel comes up and someone had brought Bill Miller's and we were out of the Bill Miller's barbecue sauce. So Joel grabs the casserole dish that Mo brought her vegan riblets, grabs a real piece of brisket and just smears it all over Mo's casserole dish full of the barbecue sauce. And Mo yells, "Joanne, what are you doing?" with a mouthful of meat. And he's like, "What?" And she goes, "You know what? You can have that casserole dish."
I was going to say she had to throw it away or burn it.
That's crazy.
She goes, "You know what? You can just keep it." And he goes, "Why? I'll just wash it." She's like, "No, it's fine." And Joel just didn't get it.
You know what this is, dude.
Well, he got a casserole dish out of it.
I think maybe he did
that
know.
Maybe plan. He did know. He's like, "Oh, casserole dish." Ew.
I can get like four bucks.
Sorry, I wrote this brisket on your $10 bill.
Yeah, author of the book Never Pay for Your Own Fried Chicken.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
So.
Shaggy, we're happy that you're here.
Absolutely.
This is going to be a grand old time.
I'll start harassing you again about this in like a couple months and see if I get invited back a third time.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah, with Jay LaFar. We'll do November 2nd, we'll there do a go. Political.
Jay. That would be excellent. Yes.
Yeah, Jay versus Jason. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for
that. That'll be intense. Prepare for intense.
Shaggy versus Faggy.
LaFar, the challenge is being thrown your way. If you're listening, and you know you are, don't act like you're not, bro. He's totally listening. Shaggy challenges you to a political standoff. And I think, guys, it's going to be the most entertaining podcast we've ever done. And the
also probably the most informative.
And the most that we would probably not say anything.
Yeah. We're neutral. We're the
facilitators.
Yeah. And then you guys are the debaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, don't. God damn it. God, awesome. I set that one up.
Yeah, the debaters, dude.
I'll allow it.
Yes.
So, all right. So, Shaggy,
we can just come up with questions. That's going to be awesome.
Whoa, yeah. Well, each come that'll be our topic questions. But we'll have multiple
questions. Political ones. Are actually political ones. Yes.
And you can't see them until.
No, they should be able to.
Nope.
Yeah.
In the presidential debate, Shaggy, do they give them the answer?
They sign off on them. They won't agree to debate unless they know all the questions beforehand.
All right.
But I think we shouldn't see the questions. I'm all for it.
Okay.
Bring it.
I don't think they should see the questions.
Unless he needs to for some week.
I'm sure you guys.
Hey, shit. Well, how's your visor, LaFar?
The gauntlet's been thrown.
More like love subpar. Jay La Sapar. Ah.
Jess, what do you got for us today?
All right. It's time for my segment entitled, I'm looking at that. It's the segment where I talk about the latest in movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners would be, hey, yeah, I'm looking at that.
So I like how Jess is, it used to start like Jess was like hip-hoppy, sort of thuggish, and now he's kind of Italian sounding.
Oh, man.
It changes every time.
You just say that to get under his skin.
No. He sounds
Jay
like...
Jay hates eye ties, Shaggy.
No, I don't hate it. Well, Jay LaFar... You said Jay.
Did I say Jay? He's talking about me, bro. Oh. Jess hates Italians.
I do not hate
You're
Italians.
You're Italian, right, Shaggy?
No.
I don't hate Italians. I don't. That's not even a thing.
You're Irish?
No.
Cool, man.
So, it's this week, funny enough. This week, funny enough, the object of, I'm going to look into that, is the upcoming movie called John Wick. And John Wick. That's a guy's name. John Wick. John Wick stars Keanu Reeves.
John Wick what?
John Wick. Oh, that's it. This is two names. It stars Keanu Reeves, which I thought was really funny, because last time we had Shaggy on, I talked about a Keanu Reeves movie. Yeah. And
it's the thing. Shaggy's a big Keanu Reeves fan, guys.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves movie last time we talked about was The Man of Tai Chi. This one's called John Wick.
Well, because Keanu Reeves is Hawaiian, and Shaggy, you're Hawaiian, right? So.
No.
Okay.
This is no relation to John Carter.
This is no relation to John Carter.
John Wick sounds like a black kid.
Or name. Alex Cross.
No, sounds like a Frenchman. John Wick.
No, John Wick.
John Wick.
John Wick.
It sounds like a French, French first name. Where's in there?
Travel Jackson.
John Wick, Travel Eldorado.
So John Wick... Keanu Reeves is a seemingly average, okay guy who's rich and drives a classy, classic Mustang and has a cute little beagle dog. And he's at the gas station filling up, and these thugs, these hoodlums, see his car and admire it. And then he goes home, and the said hoodlums follow him home and beat the shit out of him, steal his car, and gasp. Murder his dog!
No! Oh,
they kill his dog!
This is what happens when you fuck someone in the ass, John Wick!
And so... He buries his dog, and he's all, they took away something that was important to me.
Ooh, Jason Statham's in his movie?
Yeah, and it so turns out that the dog, this beagle, was actually the last gift that was from his dying wife.
Fuck,
right?
Dude.
So they done fucked with the wrong motherfucker. Because as it turns out, the guy who stole the Mustang, he's in front of like this dad who's this kingpin crime boss dude.
Of course he is.
Right? And he's like, where'd you get that car from? Oh, I stole it from this dude. And he starts beating him. You don't know who you fucked with. And you fucked with John Wick. So John Wick apparently is an ex-hitman who's got a cachet of fuck all in his fucking basement.
I don't even want to watch the movie.
Jams, dude.
I don't want to watch the movie because you're describing it as 10 times better than I'm sure the movie's going to be.
So what happens is...
Sounds like it was written by a visor.
I like it.
They kill his beagle. He uncovers his little cache of weapons and just rains ass on fucking these Goombas. I don't even know if they're Italian mobsters. I just do that.
Wow, dude. You racist bastard.
Dude.
So that's the
these
short of it.
These giddy-wop fucks.
That's the short of it. They fuck with the wrong motherfucker. John Wick. That's Hitman.
That's
the bottom of the thing.
John Wick.
They done fuck with the wrong motherfucker. And it's just this somber picture of Keanu Reeves.
Sad Keanu with a dead beagle next to him.
So
you got to make that poster now.
So I've said this before. Keanu Reeves. I like Keanu Reeves. I like him. I think he gets a lot of shit. Yeah, I think he gets shit for being wooden and untalented and all that stuff. But I think
would you give him a visor for his acting, Shaggy?
Yes.
Yeah, straight up.
80% of the movies. Yes.
He's no Kenan Thompson.
No. I don't. Don't even go there.
When you put him in the right thing, I think it'll be all right. Last time I talked about Man of Tai Chi, I hadn't seen it yet, and I did see it, and it was all right. It was fun. It was his first movie that he directed. It was all right. It was good.
Was it Dogstar soundtrack? Did Dogstar do the soundtrack?
No.
Did you ever go see Dogstar when they came into town?
No.
Dogstar, for those who don't know.
30 Seconds from Mars.
Keanu Reeves' band.
Did you go see 30 Seconds from Mars? What about 30-odd grunts with...
That's Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that either.
Or the Sharks.
What about Planet Caravan? What's the name of that band to open for Jimmy Eat World and has Jason Schwartzman in it?
They sang California.
Yes.
That band. Planet something.
Rushmore's.
Jason Schwartzman's band.
Phantom Planet.
Thank you. So... I think it looks cool. At first I was laughing because they really do show this poor man bury his beagle. And he's like, they took the thing that I love,
Snoopy.
They buried his dog, and then they show like his wife dying of, you know, the lowest common denominator, cancer.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then
she's like, my cancer. Here's Biggie's.
And so
make sure he stays alive forever. Okay, I promise he'll stay alive forever. Make sure he doesn't get killed by a bunch of thugs.
What's his name? Pickles. Dead.
So I think it just looks... I'm not gonna lie. I was like, hey, that looks kind of cool. I'm not gonna fucking lie. At first I was like, this is... What is this? And they showed him unloading the guns. I'm like, oh man, what's happening? What is this?
The Johnny Mnemonic... meets
no like just full-blown like Neo style like gunplay kick-ass Keanu Reeves with sad Keanu face and sad Keanu beard,
yeah,
but just kind of, you know, stylized hitman just kicking ass because they killed his dog, stole his car too. I don't know which one has more emotional heft, but yeah, John Wick, and then with that name too, John Wick.
They
name a movie after the person, and if it's a person not established, it's a really hard sell. There was also Tom Cruise's Jack Reacher, which was really good, and you know it's based on this series of books, but I've never heard of it before, but I guess they were figuring that the character is a number one best-selling book series, like 18 books, you know?
Didn't Matt Damon have one?
There's Get Carter starring...
Well, there's Born Identity.
Yeah, but that's not... It's... No...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. John Carter.
Ray.
Get John Carter, Jack Reacher, John Wick, Ray.
Ray.
Ali.
Ali.
See? All those movies fucking suck, Jess.
You name a movie after a person and people just tend to not go see
Lincoln.
It. It's like fucking Lincoln. Yeah, JFK.
Yeah.
J. Edgar.
Good Burger. Yeah, Shaggy.
That's classic. That's a good one.
Strawberry jacuzzi, bro.
So it brings up this week's topic for, I'm going to look into that, which is a very simple question based on the fact that Keanu Reeves is playing a hitman named John Wick, an assassin of types. Yeah. And I just got down to the root of it. And the question is, who is the greatest assassin in a movie? Greatest movie assassin? And I'll kick it off by saying that the greatest movie assassin is none other than Chow Yun-Fat. In the movie The Killer.
Okay.
Arguably John Woo's best movie. Juggle it between that and Hard Boiled.
Yep.
Chow Yun-Fat in the characters. I think his name was John for the English subtitles. I think his name was like Ajong or something like that. Just classic romanticized, you know, hitman with morals, which is always kind of like, that's the standard now.
Yeah.
Hitman's got to have morals. Even this John Wick guy that killed his dog, stole his car. He was okay until you fucked with him. And that's kind of like how Chow Yun-Fat is in that character. He's just a hitman. He only kills bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like to hurt women. And what happens is he's
He's in the middle of a gunfight, in the middle of a hit, and this poor woman, this poor lounge singer, gets blinded by a gun muzzle.
Yeah.
And then he falls in love with her because he wants to take care of her, pay for her bills. I'm sorry I fucked up your face.
Yeah.
Let me fall in love with you, pay for your bills.
Was the beagle a seeing-eye dog?
No.
No.
All right.
No. That would be nice, though.
Yeah. Way to go, Visor, who wrote this movie.
So, just classic, just super nice guy, and he, you know, there's a part where he's doing assassination, this kid gets killed in the crossfire, risks his life and money and mission to take the kid to the hospital, and, you know, he's just got a guy with morals, wonderful fucking movie, and he has a tragic ending, as a lot of late 80s and early 90s movies action. If you're watching a movie from the late 80s and 90s from China and it had guns in it, guarantee the ending's gonna, like,
Jackie Chan gets shot.
Yeah, Debbie Downer. Just Debbie Downer endings. They're like, oh, the hero, he's going to die.
Yeah.
And the bad guy's going to get away.
Yeah. And he's going to jump kick towards a bunch of guns.
Yeah. And die.
That happens like in three different movies.
So, Chow Yun-Fat in The Killer. That is the hitman. And he's awesome at what he does. His kills, A+. Great fucking movie. Say,
is there a hitman where they're not good at what they do?
Sure. I posted in the picture. One of my other favorite hitmen all time.
Thank you, Reggie Jackson from Naked Gun.
I must kill the queen.
I laughed out loud when I looked at that earlier. I was like, thank you, Jess. Yeah, I forgot all about that.
He did not kill the queen.
But he was a .44 caliber killer in the Son of Sam.
But it's in a comedy movie. You don't expect him to be good.
Yeah, that's true.
Mine was actually listed on the picture, and I'll just say it real quick because it also fits everything that you just suggested, and that's Leon the Professional.
Yeah.
I know that's the easy one.
No, but for a reason.
Yeah, I went through a list of hitmen that I really like, and Antonio Banderas came up multiple times, in three different movies. But Leon the Professional, again, the soft spot, no women, no kids.
The romanticized hitman that doesn't exist because most hitmen, they'll want the money. Kid, bye-bye.
Watch the Iceman documentary or Cocaine Cowboys and all those fucking hitmen were horrible people in real life. But Leon the Professional is great. He fought the fucking... New York City Police Department?
Yeah, corrupt the police department
and
slash
killed
mob.
All of them. And Gary Oldman's the best in that movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But again, Leon wasted them all and almost got away with it all to save a little girl that he was kind of in love with. I guess more than just
Harold and Maude sort of thing.
He almost the implication is that he was kind of semi simple minded.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, yeah, like in the beginning with Danny Aiello and all that.
He was more like he had a caretaker more or less. Danny Aiello was like
no one steals from Danny Aiello.
He was an idiot savant, and his talent was murdering.
Was jacking people.
Leon the Professional, dude. Yeah,
yeah,
and. I think everyone should say that answer.
I'm not even
everyone.
Everyone.
Well done. Thank you.
I haven't seen either of those movies. I think
only
movie I've seen in like 20 years is Good Burger.
Yeah,
Good Burger, and we're
we didn't mention it last time. Good Burger is a good movie.
This one may not be the greatest assassin, but one that scared the hell out of me as a kid. It's from a movie from like the 70s. Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn, Foul Play.
Oh, Foul Play.
It's very un-PC. I think I was like 7 or 8 at the time.
Fuck yeah.
But the assassin was an albino. And all I remember is that they were afraid of the albino. And that's what they called him. The albino. Totally on PC, but as an 8-year-old boy, for like the next 10 years, I was terrified of albinos.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were going to kill me.
They're not real people, man. White people, dude. See, you should be afraid of because
The whitest of the people. The whiter you get, the more scared everyone should be.
That's the truth.
Because even like black people that are albinos, they're white people, man.
That's terrifying.
It's kind of, it's a little terrifying.
Yeah, dude. I'm with you. Jason Gossard. I hate
that.
White people.
Not proud of that.
You're scared of them.
I'm scared of white people.
I don't hate them.
Terrified,
but don't hate.
Yeah, kill all the white people.
That's not even what he was saying. That's
why we were quoted.
That's why I was going that direction.
Okay.
Kill whitey.
Right, all right.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, all right.
I agree with Shane.
Kill all the white
people. Yeah, kill all the white people.
Last week, Freddie, I'm with you, man. Date abused women.
Yeah,
Yeah. That's what happens. My answer, Leon the Professional. I'm sorry, dude. Yeah. It's a thing. Here's the thing. Like, I was trying to think of a... I went through my brain. Yeah. Very, very close second was John Cusack and Gross Point Blank.
Beautiful.
Like, that was a very close second. But when I thought to myself, who did I want to be? Like, who was the coolest? Who did I think was the best? Like, if you put them all in a room, who would come out alive? It would be Leon the Professional. It's that simple. The fact that he had his code, he used the knife, you know, like that was his thing. He's like, that's how you know you're good is when you can use the knife.
Yeah, the sniper rifle is easy. Like,
yeah, and you know, you see all these other movies, that's what they're doing. They're using, you know, except for, what's his name? Machete in Mariachi or in Desperado.
Desperado.
Yeah.
Yeah, he uses the knife, throwing knives. But yeah, man, Leon the freaking professional.
Cusack used a pen.
Oh, he did.
And then he wrapped him in a banner to get rid of his body. Believe
me, very, very close second. Because
that movie's
and could
awesome.
Leon, could he go to his high school reunion and get the girl and kill the guy at the same time?
Ooh, see, now you're making a good case. I mean,
yeah. Well, he didn't graduate high school. And he's social anxieties off the charts.
All right, change my answer. John Cusack. Thank you, Shane. Yeah, he is much cooler. Yeah. He is much cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God,
I
mean,
who doesn't want to be Cusack? I do.
Well, I wanted to be Dan Aykroyd in that movie, because that just blew me for a loop at the end.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with John Cusack.
Yeah.
This is good music.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Gets down with what's-her-face.
What are you looking for?
Mini Driver.
Oh, man, that's a good movie. I love that movie. All right.
I was looking for my runner-up from The Godfather, the cop, because he is the only living.
He had a name.
Yeah, no, I'm getting it right now. I fucking, God damn it.
The like, cop, because he's got this.
Al Neri.
That's the cop. That's the character's name.
That's the character's name. He lasted through all the Godfather movies, and he became Consigliere in part 3. Al Neri is also responsible for killing the hooker that on part 2 they busted the senator with.
That's him. That's
Al Neri. Wow. Yeah. And in The Godfather 1, he plays the police officer. All played by Richard Bright. Same actor. Thinking, I had to go to IMDb.
Her was thinking that which characters in all three movies and is one of the small hitman. Oh shit! There's another character. There's another Godfather character that's in all three movies. He was one of the. He's the one. He's from Italy. He's one of. He's one of the friends from Italy when he.
Oh, in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
Tomasino. I didn't even need that one. Yeah,
because he was his best when he went over there.
Yeah,
he's the guy who looks like Joel.
That guy
looks like Joel. He's in all three movies, and he's in Godfather 3, and he
and got a lot of hands. That guy, they look right there.
Yes,
there. Yeah,
yes, that guy. Yes.
Yeah. So, but no. Here's the thing with him is that you're not a Godfather fan.
I haven't seen 3, so I can't comment.
You're good. You shouldn't see 3. You're actually one of the few people that probably has a truer, genuine, like actual love and appreciation for the Godfather franchise because you haven't seen 3. That piece of shit.
I really don't hate it that much.
Joel was Kahlo. Look, it's fucking Joel Settles.
Yeah.
All right, but, yeah, dude. Al Neri, man. Hard ass fucking gangster ass runner up.
All right, let's go to the Facebooks. Nick Meyer says Ah Jong from The Killer. So that's Jess.
Yeah.
Miguel Cantu says me. He posted a picture. I suppose he played a hitman in the movie.
Well, he's bald, he's got the... You know,
he's got what it takes.
He's got what it takes.
Nick Myers also says underrated movie role that deserves some credit, Tom Cruise as Vincent in Collateral.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
That's a good movie.
Justin Wilcoxon says Brainwashed Zoolander. That's pretty good.
That's my blood right there. It's my blood, yeah. Justin Wilcoxon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You related to him?
We're related. Blood cousins.
Ooh. Oh, hey, that's pretty cool, man. Both you guys Palestinian, right?
Yeah. Cool.
Brian Ortiz says John Cusack, Gross Point Blank.
Yeah.
There we go.
Right on.
Alfred Perez says Chow Yun Fat, The Killer.
Yeah.
Corey Dorsey, he says this, aka he's just pointing to The Killer. So Brian Powell says, pictured Leon the Professional is amazing, such a great film and a great assassin. Alex Ansel says, amounting to nothing sure assassinated a lot of acting careers. Mm-hmm. That's referencing a movie. That I guess, was he in that?
I don't know.
That's the Johnny Luna one, right?
He did, yeah.
Samson Portillo says, Carrie Fisher in the Blues Brothers.
Nice! Yes!
Nice! She wasn't very good, but no, she was definitely memorable.
I ran out of gas!
Definitely memorable. Nick Meyer says, another one, El Mariachi.
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Cesar Portillo says, Stephen Baldwin in Usual Suspects.
Yeah. Yes!
Oswald Fuck was yes. a fag.
Yeah. Oswald was a fag.
Yes. Yes.
Carlos Castro says Angel Eyes, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Nah, so, yes.
Yeah, very yes. nice. Robbie Tuarte says the Dirty Harry-esque crossbow assassin from Robin Hood Men in Tights. Wow. And Andy Salinas Garza, whoever that is, says the bride, a.k.a. Beatrix Kiddo.
Yeah, good answer.
Yeah, she's really surprised yeah. no one actually, because I had put a picture of Owen Arinishi, and I was wondering if anyone would say.
No, she's good. Bride, yeah. But come on, she's got to get pregnant, and then what's she going to do when she's pregnant?
Yeah, right, don't shoot me, I'm pregnant.
Yeah,
I'm a girl, but I'm a white girl.
That's
so
why
I'll
never be president, right, Shaggy?
Yeah. I'm with you, man.
Right?
You're right, Shaggy.
Right.
You know what? Shaggy Cruz 2016. I think it's
going to
get replaced.
Wait, but Shaggy, you don't like white people. Y'all can't be.
Oh, good yeah, point.
They can't
good
do
point,
it.
Point.
Yeah.
What political party would we represent, man?
Libertarian.
No?
Vegetarian.
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 You vote vegetarian, bro?
No. Green all the way.
Yeah. Man. Weed, man.
Exactly.
No, catching greens, bro.
So no one picked the assassins, Antonio Banderas and Sylvester Stallone?
No.
No, no one.
Not at all.
No one.
No one wants,
brothers. That's.
No one wants to shoot a gun out of a coffin?
That movie's okay. It's good. It's all right. It was a surprise. I was like, oh, this wasn't so bad. Something that is bad with Antonio Banderas would be the cult classic X versus Sever.
Wow.
Which wow. is not a cult classic. It is it's great. It's my friend Paul fucking notoriously, he says, you have to see this movie, but did not state why. We watched the movie and it was fucking horrible. And after the movie was over, he goes, great, that's done. He goes over to his DVD player, takes the disc out, snaps it in half, and throws it in the trash.
Yes.
And he goes, I just wanted you to see that, and then I was waiting for you to see it before I was able to do that. Now I feel better.
Who did that?
Paulo.
Of course he did. Threw panties out the window.
Yeah.
Oh, Shaggy, man, thanks for joining.
Yeah.
So, Mike Silver, what the hell's this movie called?
John Wick, you done fuck with the wrong motherfucker.
Now, if they called it that.
Yeah.
They should have just called it that.
They killed my dog. They killed your dick.
No, they should just called you done.
John, you done fuck with the wrong motherfucker.
Yeah, I'd watch that movie.
Yeah, it looks like he whips ass. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, hey, he's whipping ass. I'll watch that. That looks fun. Looks very cool.
John Wick.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
So now it's time for Dad's Cornered.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
Yeah, it's my segment where I talk about being a dad, and all that good stuff. Shaggy, you're not a father, right? So once again, I am outnumbered.
Mm-hmm.
In this edition of Dad's Corner, we talk about jokes. Next week, I travel. Well, this week, you listening to this, I'm going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada for the World Series of Comedy. Thank you. To all of you guys who donated to my GoFundMe, thanks to you guys, I am doing that. Helping out the press kit and stuff.
Fucking yeah, World Star.
World Star Hip Hop of Comedy. The reason why this question comes up is because, you know, I just patched things up with my dad maybe a year or two ago, and we're just starting to get closer. And my kids are goofballs. Yeah, all kids are goofballs, right? But, I mean, they really have a really funny, unique sense of humor. And getting close to my dad, he's always, even when it was the awkward, I don't really want to be here.
Yeah.
He would always break the ice with a joke. And it made me question, is humor genetic? And he just recently did the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, the pumpkin spice latte. That's what that stands for. Right? PSL? Dick sucking lips. So it's the Ice Bucket Challenge.
It's Alzheimer's, dude. It's Alzheimer's awareness.
Alzheimer's lymphoma.
It's ALS.
Alzheimer's lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
ALS is the first three letters of Alzheimer's.
Age,
there's
sex.
There's a Z, dude.
Age, sex.
Alzheimer's.
Or a Z, or I forgot.
Age, sex. Age,
yeah, whatever. Sex, all right, age, what happens?
Yeah.
Sex, age, gender.
Yes.
No, wait, that's what sex is.
Yes.
Anyway, you remember AOL chat room, Shaggy? Did you ever do that?
No. What I was, still have an AOL account, though.
What was your AOL screen name? Goodbye.
I didn't have one. I'm still JFoggyG@AOL. I still have that email after 20 years. Awesome.
Yeah. Look up SadClown69 at AOL, man. See if anyone says hi to you. Because that means they hacked my account. So my dad always tells jokes. He's just full of them, full of one-liners, full of jokes. And so when the ALS challenge came out, they challenged my dad multiple times. And I have to say that I was very surprised at how he not only didn't take it seriously, but basically, unknowingly, Jesus Who Farted Mendoza is exactly like my father. The way he wears his hat, the way he wears his glasses, and the way he tucks in his shirt into jeans. And I went, that is Jesus Who Farted Mendoza. Like, I think it's making fun of my dad, maybe, unknowingly. And he challenged Celine Dion, the Canadian singer from Titanic. He challenged...
Yeah, that's right.
He challenged...
he's friends with her?
Queen Latoyah, the rapper. Floyd Mayflower, the pilgrim boxer. And the cast from Star Wars, Han Solo, Han Gulo, Hans Cholo, C-3PO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it? Chewie-caca.
Instead of Chewbacca?
Yeah, dude. And
that is straight up.
And Luke Skyscraper.
That's good.
Han Cholo flies the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it ends with a big Jabba the Slut. And it cracked me up. And it was funny. And it ended up getting shared by Nina Duran, who, is the editor of La Prensa. And it got a little bit of internet juice behind it, which surprised
me. Are you serious?
Not even kidding.
Because that's freaking puro Sananto ever.
The Miznacks.
Yeah.
And my daughter will come home. Not daily, but all the time with a new joke,
mm-hmm.
right? So what did the cake say to the person?
No idea.
What piece of me? You want a piece of me? Why was the kid staring at the orange juice? Because it said, concentrate.
Bingo.
That's right.
That's solid.
Genetics.
That's solid.
On poopus. So my kids...
On poopus.
Tell jokes. My dad tells jokes all the time, like I said. So the question that I have here, in honor of me going to the World Series of Comedy and the genetics that I've recently found out are joke telling, is what is your favorite joke? Now I have two. My favorite clean joke that, you know, most comedians, they are always given the whole, all right, when someone finds out you're a comedian, tell me a joke. And the norm response is, you know, what do? Are you a plumber? If I asked you and you told me what I do to fix my pipes, people just get offended. To me, take the positive approach, man. Tell them a fucking joke. You're a goddamn comedian, right? So my go-to joke is ham and eggs walk into a bar, order a drink. Bartender says no. Ham and eggs said, why not? Bartender says, because we don't serve breakfast here. Love that joke.
That's good, man. Also very... very
quick.
It's quick, and it's a candid portrait of American, you know, how they tolerate certain races and creeds. Right.
Well, because you think ham, pork, it's a Jewish bartender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or a Muslim bartender.
Yeah.
And, you know, go back where you came from.
Yeah, that's what that's
very
is
San Antonio, because you can get breakfast till like 5 most days.
Yeah.
It's rare.
You're like, wait.
Yeah. At McDonald's.
Yeah, that's a why wouldn't they serve breakfast? Everyone serves breakfast.
Here because everybody serves breakfast. So.
A piece of string walks into a bar, right? Asks the bartender for a drink. Drink says, no, man, you're not old enough, right? String goes outside. Twists, contorts himself, grabs a brush, teases his hair, walks back in, orders a drink. Bartender says, didn't I tell you no? And his string says, no, I'm afraid not.
Yeah, I like it.
What's up?
It's a good one.
I like it. So, I like it. Yeah.
Those are my favorite jokes.
Those are good. That's good. And they're clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah.
I thought it was just, what is your favorite joke? There was only one. Mm-hmm. I thought you had
those are my favorite jokes, you fucking prick. Yeah, go ahead.
Joke.
No. Go ahead, two assassins. What's your answer?
My answer is a joke that I came up with myself. It's my favorite joke. It goes as such. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Banana Henderson.
It's a good
last name.
May I please come in?
Why hasn't anyone done that before?
That's my favorite joke. Like, anytime people are telling just simple jokes, that's my favorite one to go to.
I like it.
I like that. Yeah.
Banana Henderson.
That's his last name. There it is. You're welcome.
I love that. That's fucking awesome.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Let's tell the kids that joke.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I don't know if the kids will get it.
They'll get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told it to high school kids.
You know what it is?
High school kids are like, what?
I'm
like,
it's exactly like, why did a chicken cross the road?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it doesn't work with a different last name. Like, it has to be Henderson.
Henderson
is his last name.
Yeah, Gutierrez.
No. Henderson. Henderson is what it is. Yeah. No, that's perfect.
Banana who? Banana Henderson. And you can't just say Henderson.
Yeah.
No, you got to say Banana Henderson.
Jason.
My favorite joke is, it's a man walks into a bar joke, but a very handsome, chiseled man walks into a bar that it is in a skyscraper, and he goes up to the bar, and he sees this really depressed, crying man, and he asks the guy, like, well, what's wrong? And he's like, oh, I'm just really sad. I lost my job. I found out my wife's cheating on me, and the doctor diagnosed me with depression, so I guess that's why I'm sad. This handsome guy says, hey, bartender, buy us some drinks. He buy him around, and then they buy drinks. And they're chatting, and he's kind of cheering them up and getting them all happy. And then they basically just drink, get drunk. And they're playing all these kind of like, you know, games, quarters and darts and all kinds of shit. And then the handsome guy says, look, I have this awesome game that you will like, and it'll cheer you up. And I want to show it to you. But it's at the, you know, roof of the building. At the skyscraper. And the guy's like, okay. So they go up the roof of the building, and then they're on the top of the building, and he says, on the very corner of this building, there's this mysterious pocket of air that makes you float, and it'll kind of like carry you over and float you back. And then the depressed guy's like, that's impossible, no way. And the guy's like, well, let me show you. Chiseled man walks to the edge of the building, steps off the ledge, and the wind carries him back. He floats and then hovers back on the edge. And the guy, depressed guy, is like, that's fucking incredible. That's awesome. Chiseled guy says, well, why don't you try it? Depressed guy walks to the edge, steps over the edge, and falls all the way down to his depressing death. Chiseled guy goes back inside to the bar. Bartender says, man, you really are an asshole when you're drunk, Clark Kent.
Nice.
That is my favorite joke.
Nice.
Because it's one of the first ones that it was a nerdy joke. And I was like, and I kind of felt happy that I got it. I was like, I get it.
It was dark, man. Bro. Yeah.
It is dark. Well, I added the whole thing about the guy having depression.
I think I spiced it up a bit.
Why is he crying? Because I lost my job. Wife cheated on me, and I had depression.
He wasn't crying at all.
No, he wasn't.
In the original
joke.
They were
just having good old times.
That and then so favorite. The bartender knew Clark Kent's true identity, huh?
Ooh, yeah. Good call.
He did.
Oh, wow.
Only one person.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Kirby Lane.
Secret lover.
Lois's uncle. All right, Shaggy, too dope.
All right, my favorite joke, I heard this when I was in high school. I was driving to high school. I can remember exactly where I heard it. After I heard it, it was on the radio, Mark and Mark, which was sort of like what Lyle and Han have always wanted to be, you know, that version of what an LA disc jockey is. And after they told the joke, they played Pink Floyd's Learning to Fly. I remember that. But the joke is this. I remember very few jokes, but for some reason I remember this one. Two ducks are sitting in a bathtub, and one duck looks at the other and says, hey, will you please hand me the soap? And the other duck says, what do you think I am, a radio?
That's a joke.
And that's the joke.
What?
I don't get it. I never have. But it is.
Wait.
Two ducks. What do you think I am?
And then Learning to Fly by Pink Floyd.
You gotta have that.
You gotta have that.
Yes. Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive that is what I heard.
All right. Okay. That
maybe Shaggy was listening to the Pink Floyd album, and he was so stoned out of his gourd. There's probably no market mark.
I've never smoked, so it wasn't a weed thing. So
that was two ducks in a bathtub.
Yeah, they're
two ducks in a bathtub.
Two ducks in a bathtub.
Joke.
My favorite clean joke, if everyone's getting two jokes, is what did the fish say when he ran into the wall? Damn. I got put in the corner in grade school for that one.
Because you said damn?
All right.
So it's not really a clean joke, I guess.
All right, there's several of them on Facebook, and some of them were kind of long. So I don't know if we want to go through these.
Yes, we should.
All right.
Yes, we
do you want to pass this around? We can all tell them?
Yeah, well, that's fine.
That's fine. I'll pull it up.
All right, I'll do first. No, I'll just pass this around.
Oh, okay.
All right, Justin Wilcoxon.
That's my blood. Let me read my blood.
Here you go.
All right, this is what my cousin said. A pirate walks into a bar with a steering wheel and on his pants, a peg leg, and a parrot on his shoulder. The bartender says, "Hey, you've got a steering wheel on your pants." The pirate says, "Arr, I know. It's driving me nuts."
That's a good one. You can just pass it around.
That's pretty good.
Go down the line.
Brian Pell says, "What's black and white and green and black and white? It's two zebras fighting over pickle. I can't even say it without laughing. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's my favorite joke of all time. The hashtag dad joke."
Nice.
Here you go.
You know what's funny real quick? I just Googled it, and there is many variations of the no soap radio joke. There are small, the many no variants soap of radio. No soap. Soap radio. As are people who tell it, and here are all the variants. This guy has a room in a boarding house. He wants to take a shower and yells downstairs to the landlady, "There's no soap," to which she replies, "No soap radio." What the fuck does that mean? A woman sitting in a bathtub and a man walked in, "No soap radio." Two elephants are sitting in a tub. The elephant says, "Where's the soap?" The other elephant says, "No soap radio." What the fuck does that mean? Corey Dorsey says, "Your mama's vagina is so blown out, they call her Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leaves."
Oh,
Miguel like Cantu says, "Your face." That was his favorite joke.
That's a good one.
That's why I read it.
Yeah.
Nick Meyer said, "What's black and white and black and white and black and white and black and white? A nun rolling down a hill."
Oh, wow. That's kind of, morbid. I like it.
Nuns, I'm sure it's happening.
I'm sure.
Jacob James Garcia, "What's the difference between Michael Jackson and Neil Armstrong?" Well, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, and Michael Jackson fucks little boy.
Yeah, that's an oldie but goodie.
That's an oldie but goodie.
What's the difference between anybody and Michael Jackson?
My favorite Michael Jackson is, "What do Michael Jackson and caviar have in common?"
What?
"They both come on little white crackers."
That's dirty. Man, I've never heard that one.
My variation of his, because it's not the most original thought, but the variation was, "What's the difference between an astronaut and Michael Jackson?" And it's moonwalking. That's why, because I came up with that joke.
One of them's a moonwalker, and the other one fucks kids.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah. I would have loved if Neil Armstrong had like a pedophilic like scandal. Yeah. So it could have went either way.
Wow, it's double decker. Gerardo Vadin says, "That was the joke from Predator. He's a man takes his girlfriend out, and they're both about to make love for the first time in the relationship. And they're not the versions, the only first time with each other. Anyway, he goes down on her, gives her a head job. Just before he begins, he makes the following remark: "My, you've got a big pussy. My, you've got a big pussy." And then she says, "Why'd you have to say that twice?" He answers, "I didn't."
Yeah, man.
Because of the echo.
Samson Portillo.
Yeah, you got Samson's.
I got it.
Samson.
Quote, a moth goes to a podiatrist's office, and the podiatrist's office says, "What's the problem?"
I like it already. Right,
and the moth says, "What's the problem? Where do I begin, man?" He goes, "I go to work for Gregory Illinvich and all day long at work. Honestly, Doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Illinvich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness. But I don't know. I wake up in a malaise, and I walk here and there. And the podiatrist says, oh, yeah? And the moth goes, yes. And he goes, at night, I sometimes wake up and turn to some old lady in my bed that's on my arm. A lady that I once loved, Doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria, she fell in the cold of last year. The cold took her down, as it did many of us. And my other boy, and this is the hardest pill to swallow, Doc. My other boy, Grigoro Ivanilovich, I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch good. When I take a glimpse of my own face in the mirror. If only the cowardice was stronger, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cooked and loaded gun that lays on the bedside behind
cocked
me.
And loaded.
And he, oh, cocked. Did I say cooked? Behind me and end this hellish facade once and for all. He says, Doc, sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth, just barely hanging on to my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good. And so the doctor says, Moth, man, you're troubled, but you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here? And the moth said, because the light was on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's lovely.
That is beautiful.
It's like Norm MacDonald joke, apparently.
Yeah. He's a Norm MacDonald joke.
That's lovely.
Nick Meyer says, it was funny. Hearing it, Norm MacDonald's voice made it effing hilarious. Alfred Perez put up one of his favorites, which is his comic from Office Whatever. What was Count Dooku's Sith name from Star Wars? Darth Rightus?
Yeah.
Hey, Stacy Medina says, a fish is swimming along, jumps out of the water, hits a wall, and says, damn.
Yeah, classic.
Coincidentally, Alex Ansel posts a picture of
Jay LaFarge's shirt.
And so you could read Jay LaFarge's shirt, Shaggy.
Jay LaFarge's shirt says, and maybe in November 2nd, he'll wear that in person here when we debate politics. What's the hardest part of dating a MILF in Texas? Waiting till she turns 18.
Yeah. That's actually that's Kool-Aid shirt that he's wearing.
Is that so Kool-Aid shirt?
Joke? It says Alex Ansel on the shirt.
So that's Kool-Aid's joke.
Unless Jay made that shirt.
No, it's probably Kool-Aid's joke.
Brandy Dunnigan says, what do you get when you cross a joke with a rhetorical question?
Nice.
Yeah.
Robbie Duarte says, from the Boondock Saints film, there's a Mexican, a black guy, and a white guy. A genie agrees to grant them one wish. The Mexican asks for all of his people to be happy and in Mexico. So poof, the wish is granted. The black guy asks for all of his people to be happy and back in Africa. Poof, the wish was granted. The genie finally goes up to the white guy and says, what will your wish be? The white guy says, you mean to tell me that all the blacks and Mexicans are out of the country? Genie says, of course. It's what they wish for. So the white guy says, then I guess I'll have a Coke. You love that one, Shaggy.
No, he doesn't. He's scared of white people.
No one put the handlebars joke.
That's interesting.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. No real racist jokes, which I was kind of surprised.
What? That last one was racist.
Yeah.
It's from movies. No, it's like
white supremacist.
We know
white people are racist, so it's not really.
It wasn't like, you know,
racist.
What would you call
it's calling people racist, but it's not racist.
Right.
It's meta racist.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Meta world peace, dude.
World
peace. Yeah. He's not meta world peace anymore. He changed his name again.
What is he now?
I don't know, but he changed his name again.
Like Dr. Dre?
Priceline.com.
2000. Yeah.
He's trying to
John Wick Trayvon.
John Wick
Trayvon Skittles.
Eldorado.
So yeah, man, parody, man. Fuck it.
Yeah. It's a big fucking joke.
Suck my fat cock.
Regan gave him shit for it. He said his topic was Bush League bullshit.
Yeah. And he typed Bush League bullshit.
I'm just glad you said that out loud. It sounds so funny. I love that term. It's so funny.
Regan loves the term Bush League bullshit and dipshit.
That's a good one, too.
And butt fuck.
You should call people that more often.
He doesn't cuss, so he can't say it. So dipshit and
call
butt
people
fuck.
That. It's like,
if
it's
you
like
call
a pie
someone
in the face.
A butt fuck.
But who doesn't cuss? You don't cuss?
Yeah.
Doesn't cuss, yeah.
It's like,
he'll text it, though. He'll text
bullshit, you butt fuck.
When I really want to get something across.
Dipshit.
Yeah.
That's just being mean. That's the meanest thing you can call anybody.
Dipshit's pretty gnarly.
Like, you can't come back to that. Like,
yeah, here's your visor, dipshit. That's what he should say.
Just write it really, really small, like on the inside seam. So like when they get home and they're looking over, it just says, congratulations, dipshit. Yep.
But right every the time inside. They put it on, they see it. Like no one else can see it except for them.
You know what? There was one time when I was working at Diamond Shamrock, and there's this regular, it was his family, and so I kind of knew them, so it was okay. But the teenage boy, he was like 15 or whatever, he wasn't that much younger than me. He was doing something really stupid, and I told him, I was like, you need to get your paradise and get the fuck out of here, you dipshit. And he goes, don't call me a dipshit. Like, he got really, like, dipshit offended him. He's like, I'm smart. I'm making good grades in school. Like, that phrase triggered something, and I was like, holy shit. Like, I think his parents call him dipshit all the time.
Right?
Because it triggered something really bad. And then after that, I called him like son or something like shit. It's like, calm down, son. I'm not your son! You know, like, it was kind of weird. So I don't know. That we're just reminded me of that. Me.
Why don't you get your paradise and get the fuck out of here, you dipshit?
That's rough, man. That's the best.
That's why they're Valeros now, man, because of Jez. So there's so much time in Shamrocks.
I knew him. He lived in the neighborhood. It's fine.
No, he's not! All right, so this week's topic on Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about all sorts of not funny stuff, especially today, we're talking about a journal article that's coming from the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs out of Harvard, which came out this week, which talks about how marijuana users who feel low get high. So they did a study on young people who use marijuana. They said that they frequently experience an increase of negative effect in the 24 hours leading up to the use, which lends strong support to an effect regulation model in this population, saying that a lot of these youngsters, when they feel bad, it's almost like they're medicating themselves with weed. So a large proportion of them. This is age 15 to 24, mind you. They recruited, and it's just a small sample size of 40 people who use marijuana at least twice a week. So these are 15-year-olds who are using it at least twice a week.
Nice.
Only? The average was 9.7 times per week.
Now we're talking.
And so they would... This was actually the thing that they said about this study was it was real time. So other previous marijuana studies, they talk about like previous use. Well, this one, there was actually as they were using it, they made sure that they were getting in contact and having them report how they were feeling before, 24 hours before the marijuana use compared to other periods. Anyway, so it's just a study. Talking, you know, just simply, talking about, you know, it's a small sample size of a small group of 15 to 24-year-olds who's talking about, you know, that they use it to, you know, self-medicate and make themselves feel better. But I just made me think about, people that I've known in the past that use it and why they use it and what kind of came about of their marijuana use. And brought me the question of, what's the worst effect that marijuana has had on you or a friend? So to me, I lived with a super duper wonderful pot smoking person, in Colorado. He used to smoke all the time. And he was the one that he made me believe that although marijuana may not be physically addictive, it is incredibly just habit-forming addictive to where he was out of money that week, and he was scrounging for anything he could get, trying to get some sort of weed, and I witnessed him like literally get a paperclip and start scraping resin out of like pipes and bongs, right? Scraping resin.
That's hash,
I've heard
bro.
About that.
You've heard about that. Okay, so that was step one, right? So once all the resin was gone, he started digging through his 1989 little Toyota truck and like going through, and his truck wasn't clean, trying to find flakes and anything he could
find. That's addict shit.
Yeah, so he found...
No.
It's
crackheads don't do that at all.
He found a small piece of black something. It was a little, and he thought it was like a big chunk of resin. He was like, oh man, I felt like he was so excited. Put it in his pipe and smoked it, and we're pretty sure it was just a chunk of rubber.
And well, I'm sure he got fucked up, dude.
He started coughing like crazy and got sick, like, but he was just hell bent on smoking that rubber. And I was like, that was when I was like, oh man, okay. This has some sounds like, man, like, I was like, you're addicted, dude. Like, seriously, what the hell? You just smoked rubber. What the hell, man? And that was like the worst thing I've ever witnessed that marijuana had effect. Other than that, that's the, you know, nothing really bad has ever come about. I've ever seen someone smoking weed, but that was the moment I was like, man, you're definitely addicted to that stuff. So that's my story. Anybody else want to chime in? What's the worst effect that it's ever had on you?
I am a White Zombie fan. I am not apologetic about being a White Zombie. Sure. I think Rob Zombie is a little corny. I like him fair enough. But White Zombie is the tits. And I was a little bit of a pothead in the age of 15, 16. And I picked up my friend Bubba, who was in his punk band, who we were going to go check out White Zombie Pantera at the Freeman Coliseum, right? This next story is the reason why I'm very scared and into clowns. We go. He has an ounce of weed that he hides in my vintage Darth Vader Star Wars toy chest. At my house, we go to Brackenridge Park. I don't know why we were in Brackenridge Park. And he's like, hey, let's smoke this joint. And I'm like, yeah, man, of course, you know, Bubba. And we go, and it was colorful. It was this colorful joint. I had never seen a joint that was colorful before. We smoke it, and it was crispy. It made these like smoking a clove. Like, it made those noises, which I really wasn't used to, like a popping and crackling. And I got pretty high. It was pretty good, right? You know, we go to the White Zombie concert, and I Hate God, a very, you know, fun.
I thought you were just saying that.
Band. No, EYEHATEGOD. I was opening. And, you know, you go through your tracers and your, you know, long noises that you get when you're high, like, feedback. That noise exists. You're just concentrating really hard on it. And I'm like, cool, whatever. And then, White Zombie's about to come out. I Hate God's performing. And then all of a sudden, people start kind of, you know, swaying, turning kind of liquidy. And I was like, dude, what's the matter with me? What's going on? And I think he said it was a Primo, which I think is laced with Coke or PCP, something like that, acid.
And what's it called again?
A Primo? Different things.
What's the difference then?
Well, Coke would get you really high.
But I think that's what a Primo is called.
PCP would get you violent. And it sounds like you smoked acid, which I've never heard of anybody actually doing before. But
hi, check this out. So he tells me that it's laced, like the paper was laced.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so I was like, awesome. And I go, I've never done that before. And then he's like, oh, you're fine, dude, just enjoy it. So then everybody melts.
That's
immediately. Nasty. And I freaked out because I can't swim. So my mind's all fucked up. So I'm like, I can't swim.
You'd be tripping.
I ran to my sister and I told her, Frances, I can't swim. And
was she actually there?
Yeah, she was there. Okay. She drove us. Goody two shoes to the max. I was like, I can't swim. Everyone's water. We need to get out of here before I drown. She's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So like any, you know, Latina girl, she goes, you need food in your system. So that was the go-to. Yeah, yeah. This is happening because you haven't eaten.
Mijo, you need food.
Yeah. So she goes and gives me a bag of chips. I'm like, Fran, I'm definitely tripping out because I see Jesse James Leha.
And why would he be at a White Zombie concert?
And then my sister goes, no, Larry, that's actually Jesse James. And he was like, this is 100%, 1,000,000% true. Everything I'm saying. So Jesse James Leha was fucking jamming out to I Hate God, dude. And so I'm outside. I look up at the sky and the clouds are hippos. The clouds are hippos just like swimming in the water.
That's awesome.
One coincidentally turns into Superman, flies away.
Nice.
And I did the stereotypical, whoa.
Yeah.
Like looking at the sky. I remember that very clearly. And then White Zombie, you can hear him starting. And she goes, I am not missing who I paid to see for your junkie ass. I was like, this is the first time I've done any hard drugs and you're calling me a junkie already. So she pulls my hand, runs inside, and White Zombie's starting. All the lights are off and I have a mouth full of potato chips because I'm trying to sober up. And on the screen is Lucille Fulci's zombie. And it's the scene.
It's really on there.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, the, on the screen.
You weren't seeing Lucille Fulci's zombie.
No, yeah. This is what I was seeing.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And this is post this happening that I know is Lucille Fulci's zombie. At the time, I had no idea what this was.
Okay.
It was a scene where.
Oh, you didn't know that's what the movie was?
At the time, oh, okay, no. I know okay. what it is now. It was the bald zombie that's on the cover in the posters. With the maggots in his mouth.
Yeah,
and he's walking towards the camera with maggots coming out of his mouth.
His eyeball, yeah.
I thought that they had a camera on me. And that the camera hit me and that was on the screen. So I immediately start spitting out my potato chips, thinking that they're only maggots, Michael.
Yeah, they're only maggots. Yeah. It's only yeah. potato chips, Larry.
And so she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So we go up. Charles Manson's on screen.
Really on the screen.
Yeah. Everything that's the worst thing that you could put in front of you because you're on acid happened to me because I was at a white zombie concert.
Yeah, what do you expect?
So the final thing is Grease Paint and Monkey Brains comes out. Great song from Astro Creep. Starts with this kind of like, like Jack in a Box song. And then it slows down and it slows down dramatically and then it goes, right? And when that part happens, the guitar riff, four crucified clown dummies fall from the rafters.
Really fall from the rafters.
Yeah.
I question everything.
Yeah, no, everything really happened, right? And so it scares me beyond belief. And I'm like, just concentrate, right? And I'm looking at White Zombie perform, and it was a great fucking concert.
Well, yeah.
But my peripheral vision was on the clowns, and every time I would look away, one clown in the middle would go, like do little raspberries and moose antlers like, to me. No, he didn't really do
sure?
that. I don't know, man.
Yeah, what if they're real?
Yeah, and I kept looking away, and he would do that. When I would look at him, he would stop. I would look away, and he would stop. Nice. And so I hated it. I was praying at signs of the cross. Just please make it stop. And finally about, you know, this is a good hour into it. It calms down. Pantera comes out.
Yeah.
And I was finally just fucking mellow. And this was after Phil Anselmo's heroin overdose.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents were in the audience. And then he sang... Coincidentally, again,
Planet Caravan,
and they had all these pot leaves, laser light showed across the stadium, and it mellowed me on it, and I thought it was really, really cool. And my sister was really pissed at me.
Yeah,
you ruined everything.
Yeah, but she still enjoyed White Zombie, and if it wasn't for that experience, I probably wouldn't be the Banana Henderson I am today.
Awesome. Was Sean
Coast
Sean Assault, dude?
Fuck yeah, she was hot. Skipping.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was hot.
It was hot. Jay was kicking some guitar ass.
Yeah.
And it was a dude from Testament playing drums.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I myself am straight edge, so I have no personal stories of myself, but I do, and Larry, I might need your help on this one because I don't remember all the details. I remember we went to a show in the Valley and Joel ate pot brownies.
Pot cookies, yep.
Pot cookies.
Well, he was just hungry. That was the problem. He was genuinely really hungry, that was the only food they had available.
Yeah.
And he knew they had pot in him, but he was hungry. But he also wasn't a believer that you can get high eating them.
And
he was hungry.
Larry had my back because they were off, they were being super friendly, and this girl's like, you want some brownies? Like, not like, you want some brownies? Like, it wasn't super obvious.
Yeah,
there
were nice girls that were just like,
hey. Girls. Picture someone come up to you at a function going, you want some brownies? Of course I want brownies. Larry said, no, you don't want any brownies. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Because I was going to get down those brownies myself. Joel, like you said, he had a shitload of brownies and cookies.
He was really hungry.
He...
like, he ate them like a hungry hobo would eat a...
Plate. A bunch of pot brownies.
I don't give a damn. I'm hungry. They're good brownies.
And see, what happened, like, it's kind of a story. I'm bringing it up because y'all are there, too, and to fill in the blanks. But I remember there was all kinds of...
Yeah, he just flipped out. He just had a bad...
He flipped out. Like, he got paranoid for no reason. He got angry.
Tried to vomit.
He tried to throw up, but he couldn't.
Took his shirt off. We went to the gym.
Didn't he run off like into the playground or something? Yeah. Like his this. It was like an after party after a show. And
we had a hotel.
Yeah, and I remember pushing and shoving him around and just being a dick to him in the hotel room.
But wasn't the party kind of like at a, like a high school gym?
Yeah, it was at a high school
gym. And so like
yeah,
there was
he was
playground.
In the playground. That's
and
right.
He ran in the playground. He took his shirt off. Well, no, that was at the gym.
That was at the hotel. Yeah, in the hotel. Gym, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was like the worst thing I've ever seen because everybody else that's ever, you know.
When you eat it, it's different.
That's the whole thing. Smoking weed's never, I'd never, that's a kind of interesting question because there's not really that many negative experiences that could come from it. Unless you fuck with it, like you're, you know, it's laced or whatever. And in this case, he ate it and he ate way too much. And I remember that being like a really, pretty bad experience because it was on, like, he was like, it was almost like a frightened for your life type of thing, but knowing that that's not going to happen or anything bad's going to happen. But, I do remember that. Like, he,
That was a bad experience.
He was up late.
He had a very bad night because
he was
of
up
marijuana.
Almost till dawn, like trying to vomit.
That's what
just
happens
fucking full
when
back.
You're hungry.
Yeah. Don't eat too much brownies. Just in general.
Shaggy,
yeah.
Have you had any friends that smoke pot?
No. Not that I know of.
Okay.
Nor have I that I remember. I had a roommate in college.
What was his name?
I still know. Nice. So I still talk to him, so we'll just keep his name a secret.
Okay.
He worked at the Weber Bread Factory. That was his job. He went in at 5 every evening, and he made bread all night, which was then sold freshly in bakeries around Berkeley and San Francisco. Big weed head, major smoked pot. Like, he'd wake up at like noon every day, smoke, take a shower, smoke, take another shower, smoke. You know,
takes
great
many
guy.
Showers?
God, because he sweat a lot. Sweat a lot, man.
Did he ever do it to make like him better? Because my roommate, the guy who was smoking rubber, he would do it like before working out, and like he said it made him do everything better. Like, it made him do
probably
everything.
The problem
better.
Was all everybody in the house smoked, so if, you know, you have to join in, it was a social thing.
Okay.
He'd go upstairs, and he'd smoke and smoke and smoke, and he'd put on his CDs and blast them as loud as he could. But he only owned 3, and I'm pretty sure that every time he listened to them, he had never heard that CD before in his life. And the 3 were the Beastie Boys' first album, License Ill, Bob Marley's Legend, and he had Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti, only he had lost the first disc, so he only played the second disc. And so for the entire year I lived with him, I heard all 3 of those CDs every day at full volume, and he sang along, and you walk in the room, he's like, dude, check this song out. You know? And you just... If you happen to walk in the room during the same song the day before, it was the same thing. Dude, check this song out, man. Here. So I hate those 3 albums.
I was going to say, like,
I hate reggae. I hate the Beastie Boys. And
I don't blame
I haven't
you.
Listened to Physical Graffiti in 30 years.
What
so.
About the first CD? Of
the first CD
Graffiti?
I can tolerate. Yeah, yeah, right. Wow. You know, I can handle that one. So.
My gosh. And. How many roommates were there?
There were 4 of us.
And the other, so. You,
well,
you
the rest
the other
of
two?
Us were actually in college.
Oh, okay.
So he had dropped out like his freshman year and just lived with us and worked at the bread factory.
Okay.
So, yeah, so.
But none of you guys were like, guys, we got to tell
him. Well, no, because, well, problem was he was the guy who made the money. So,
because he had the job at the bread factory. Yeah. He's making bread.
Making bread, dude. Making dough, man. Yeah, man.
Yes.
Nice.
Man, that an interesting That's, smell. But coming home to have that smell of freshly baked bread.
He was baked.
What?
cross pollinated with weed. I wonder. That's
yeah. And this is in Berkeley, right?
This is in Berkeley. So this is in Oakland, actually. We lived in Oakland.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, we lived in Oakland. Yeah. Biked.
Good.
Biked.
Oh, so everyone smoked, but they smoked blunts though. Your
no, this
huh?
was back in like the '80s. This was like pre-blunt. Blunts weren't that big out then. At least where at least my the crew I.
Yeah.
With. The crew I ran
the,
with.
The gang
yeah,
you
the
were
gang
in.
I ran with, man.
Ruffians.
The Oakland yeah. Raiders.
The
Potheads.
Yeah, the Shaggies and Friends. We went to Oakland once. They accepted us better than any other city in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great
yeah.
place.
It was ridiculously
rap,
fucking amazing.
We saw real hookers.
Murder will get you a bad rap every day. Sucks.
9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oakland was fucking awesome. That still is like pretty.
It's
that
good
was,
town.
That was really
one
fucking
our favorite
cool.
Shows,
one of my favorite
man.
Times. It was actually
good.
What was it's a comedia show?
We did a Larry and Regan / comedia show. Yeah.
Wow.
Inside
do
of
you remember
house.
The venue?
It was his art house. It was his wow. art house. Like we when we went
like literally art.
Do
house.
Do you know Halden?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. He set us up with a slew of Bay Area shows. We performed in this art. What would you call it in San Francisco?
In Berkeley as well.
Well, yeah, one of the shows was an actual like art gallery. Venue.
Yeah.
It was an art gallery, but they did venue
that was
shows.
San Jose.
Oh, that was San Jose. That's right.
And Berkeley was a theater.
San Francisco was also. Remember the Joel? That's an interesting name for a vampire.
But yep. The Oakland one was
in a house.
It was like an art house,
but it
they
had
converted
lots of,
to like a art place.
Yeah, like they converted the bedroom. Like they added these beds in it, and these people slept there every night. And then they had this like kitchen area that they turned into this like place where they prepared food. It was really artsy,
like a co-op-y type.
Yeah. Like there's just two people.
It was a two
person co-op.
It was like doing a show in someone's living room, but if someone was really had an artsy house. Yeah. But it was an art house. And there was a drum set there, and there was a Rage Against the Machine cover band. They had a funny name. I forgot. And I had joked. Whatever it was, I had joked. I said, "What's your band called?" This. And it was because it was named after a song, and I had forgotten. He goes, "Yeah, that's what we're called."
Oh, yeah.
But I can't remember what the fuck I was.
Was it Sun?
No, it was a kind of a joke.
Bomb track.
Oh shit, man! I wish at the time I was like, "What's it called?" Blah, and it was kind of funny. And he's like, yeah. "That's what we're called." I was like, "Sweet,
fuck
yeah!"
No, I've heard of y'all. That's why.
Yeah,
Facebook's
Corey Dorsey says he tried it once many years ago, but it never really did anything. Shrugs.
That's the worst.
Lame. Brian Powell says, "I thought I was swimming through the world, laughed at a cookie jar for about 20 minutes, and ended up on the floor twitching about an hour." A girl never forgets her first time, right? He was, don't do drugs, especially not expensive ones, several times out of giant bongs on your first night smoking. Nick Meyer says, it can make you forget to care about important crap like impulse control, or so I've heard. Stacy Medina says, about 13 years ago, my friends made special brownies, didn't tell me what they were and gave me a huge piece. I freaked out, started crying because I could hear my heart beating. They all laughed. That was my last experience with Mary Jane. Alfred Perez says, I've never done drugs, believe it or not.
That's the worst.
Yeah, boring. Alex Ansel said, he failed a piss test for some stupid job I didn't want anyway. Brandy Dunnigan says, I stayed in a closet for hours and ate Lucky Charms out of a mixing bowl with a gallon of milk trying to get my high to subside.
Yep, food.
I've done that not in a closet. So.
That sounds just, like Saturday.
That's just Jess is like, you got to be high to do that? I thought you just do that. Jovita Megan says, I watched a guy chase something invisible around a room for quite a while. When I finally asked what he was doing, he said he needed to catch the shadow to the world and sew it back on before the moon ran away and all the waves stopped. Then all these poor surfers would have nothing left.
What a good guy,
good
man.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's deep, man.
Yeah.
George Anthony says he vomited off one hit in my friend's face. Wow. Actually, he says, off of one hit in his friend's face. He says, I actually vomited outside a window from a moving car, but the rushing wind boomeranged it back to the seat. Then Jeff Stone hit a bunny rabbit and damaged his Honda.
No, man. Hey, that's some skunk we, yo.
Wow, that sucks. That's a good one.
That's pretty good.
And then Nick Meyer says, geez, we're talking about pot, right?
So I got a text from a friend who didn't want to post anything so he wouldn't publicly embarrass his family. So he says, topic 3, once it made my dad forget to get dinner and also to love me.
Wow.
I didn't post it because I wasn't sure if it was funny and I didn't want to offend anyone in my family, especially the other people who suffered from the debilitating loneliness that my father inflicted upon them.
I'm sorry for laughing at your
good
pain.
Lord. Jerk never even taught me how to throw a baseball. But he didn't want to put it to
good.
Yeah. So my anonymous friend, that was very funny.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Sorry we're laughing at you.
Yeah, friend. Sorry.
Yeah, so yeah, fun. That's not funny.
Not at all.
Marijuana, don't do it. No?
Marijuana's not funny.
Oh, okay.
Shaggy, so what's your opinion of marijuana?
Like, I was thinking about that article you read. I'm thinking if you interviewed people who go to happy hour every day, it's the same exact thing. People who work out at the gym experience the same thing.
The endorphins, people tattoos.
Who go to fast food restaurants experience the same thing. So
It's not. Yeah,
yeah, it's nothing.
And like I said, it's a sample size of 40 people aged 15 to 24.
Wow. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, those guys are, you know, living off a grant. That's their job. Love these science surveys.
They got a bunch of teenagers high.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's what they did.
That's all you need to do to be like a creepy teacher is just be
a chemistry teacher in high school. That's why he was arrested and barred from teaching ever again.
Wait.
Was for...
Oh, you answered that. Yeah, I was like, that sounds way too familiar. Yeah. That was the cool teacher, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was like last week, right? Yeah. That was last week's question. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My chemistry teacher got arrested and for selling.
What he did is
he would smoke and then eventually he'd be like, hey, if you want to buy some. Yeah, this was in like the 80s, 86, 87.
So he, Walter White would never sell to his students. He actually didn't sell.
No. But he made the perfect meth. But this chemistry teacher probably made weed that didn't get you paranoid, like American Beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Fucking A.
Fucking B, dude.
Senor Blanco.
Mr. White.
Metastasis. And yeah, Senor Blanco.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's not funny, man.
Yeah, it's not funny.
It's not funny.
Shaggy, thank you so much for joining us. And as you know, Public Access is an educational program, right? And we like to ask our guests and ourselves, what did we come to know? What made us come to know something new? What put a wrinkle in our brain? So let's start this one out. Jess Castro.
Mm-hmm.
Jess Anthony.
Yeah.
What did you come to know?
I came to know, but it's more of an affirmation. And people say that certain traits aren't genetic. But I disagree. I think there are certain things that, yes, nurturing and, you know, people learn through their parenting, so that people would kind of doubt that characteristics aren't genetic, but I think your dad, and that example is a perfect example of, like, it is. I think there's certain traits that are genetic, happy, sad,
Because it wasn't nurture.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he didn't raise me. And they've done the studies. Go look at any twin studies. If you look at twin studies specifically where the twins have been separated for years and years and years and then they come together, the amount of things personality-wise that they have similar, it's astounding. It's amazing.
Yes.
So.
It's an affirmation, but this is like the proof's in the pudding. And that's what I came to know in the pudding.
What I came to know and realize is that I finally have met somebody that wrote a joke. I've never met anyone that has written a knock-knock joke or a guy walks into a bar joke. I've never met any single person that actually wrote and came up with one.
Yeah.
And there you are.
Thanks. Yeah. You're welcome.
Good one.
You know what? It's just one of those things. It was the simplest way to go. I was like, why didn't anybody ever do that? This is his last name.
Copyright him and put on a shirt.
All right.
Yeah.
But you got to put alexhansel.com at Y2 Kool-Aid.
Absolutely. I came to know that everybody likes Leon the Professional.
It's true.
Did you really come to know that?
I guess some other people said Chow Yun Fat, but like,
Shaggy hasn't ever seen it, so he can't say he liked it.
Well, then we need
you're not gonna watch
it. Yeah, but it's everybody who's met him or seen him, right? So you're saying if you don't know, it's like Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you like Jesus. But once you know him,
you're like, man, that guy's the coolest hitman ever.
So. You gotta have an opinion.
But I also came to know that I should have chose John Cusack, though, because he's cooler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is cooler.
Who would you rather be?
Yeah,
really?
You're right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Leon.
Do you want to be simple or do you want to get the girl?
John Malkovich from...
In The Line of Fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Or Red.
Red, good one.
This is hilarious.
John Malkovich in Red?
Yeah.
Helen Mirren, what's her name?
Mirren?
Mirren?
Yeah, she's pretty badass. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Gilf.
Yeah.
JFoggyFog at AOL.com.
I don't know who that is, but send that person email.
JFoggyFog. Jason Gossard, related to Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I used to get a lot of phone calls. Right when Pearl Jam came out, I got a lot of phone calls from what sounded like young girls going, are you related to Stone?
And did you like...
And I for a while,
you
I said no.
Look alike.
Then after a while, I was like, yes, I am. Where are you? Let's talk.
Yeah.
So I can get you the hookup.
Did you get any Pearl Jam from...
I did not. Or at least I didn't get to
make Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Is that what that means? Come?
Yeah.
Pearl Jam means
the color
come?
Of it, apparently.
Oh.
It's pearl color, yeah. And so it's a big semen joke that they've been getting away with for 30 years.
Interesting. Years. And in Helmet means dickhead, and Hole means vagina. The grunge era.
I've seen Courtney Love's Hole.
You've seen her vagina in person?
Yeah. Yeah, she was opening for somebody, and she was wearing a skirt with no panties, and we were right there in the front row, and she's up there playing guitar, and we look up, and it was like...
Vagina.
It was not. You can't unsee it. It's not
you
a sign.
Saw what killed Kurt Cobain.
Oh, it possibly did, because it was not healthy.
Wow. And who were they? Who did she open up for?
I don't know who the open... It was so traumatized, I don't know who she he opened up for.
Was this while Kurt Cobain was alive? Did
no,
you
this
it?
Was like... No, this was... this was right around that time, because I was still in San Francisco.
92?
So, no, it must have been. It must have been 91 or 92. It
so,
was
before he died.
Before he died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When Kurt was writing her stuff that she will never admit to?
Yeah. Might have been like Soundgarden or somebody they were open for. Early Soundgarden, shit. Something like that. Yeah. It was
that's
really
odd.
Horrible.
Saw her, but you saw her when she was kind of hot.
Yeah.
I mean, she was hired after Larry Flynn.
After she became an actor, she hottened up.
I liked her grungy. I liked her doll parts.
Yeah.
I liked her more than
her
that
doll
than celebrity
parts
skin.
Were pretty jacked.
Gnarly box.
Yeah, they somebody pretty... had gone to town on those doll parts.
That Arby's sandwich. Arby's roast beef.
Sid and Nancy up in there.
Yeah.
Nasty guess. Pussy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jess.
I had to look up Pearl Jam's like name thing because that's what I've always thought too, but I think that was the history of their name. They had said it was named after their grandmother, whose name was Pearl, but she had a secret recipe for peyote. But then later on, they said that story's bullshit, and they did say it was named after the grandma. The pop quiz, do y'all guys know what their original band name was?
Moogie Blaylock. This is true. I was about to say that. That's why it's the first album's called 10.
Yeah. Sweet.
Moogie Blaylock, dude.
But I've always thought that Pearl Jam was cum. That's what I always thought the name was down the road. Yeah. That's just lying. They're full of shit.
So, Shaggy, if people want to follow you on the Facebooks, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram.
We're on Twitter, actually. We got a Twitter account now. Yeah.
So what? So
we're moving in. I don't know. We've had it for like 10 years, but I just discovered that we have it. So I didn't know we had it.
I forgot the password.
So it's at what?
Puddle Slam. Oh, and then Facebook. We're on Facebook. So
yeah. Puddle Slam Poetry.
Yeah.
So the Quinceañera happened in first Friday, which is October
3rd.
At Limelight in St. Mary's. So come and celebrate.
Music, band. Nada Más Basura, local San Antonio band.
Dang, dude.
Mariachis will be there.
Mariachis will be there.
Mariachis.
Dude, it's going to be great. Are you going to have Bill Miller's cater this Quinceañera?
No, I have a lot of people making tamales.
So are you going to get vegan tamales? Like the bean
there
tamales?
There are vegan tamales. There are actually dessert tamales that have been made. And right now we have 5 people, and if they all show up, we're going to have a tamale contest.
You're going to give them
for free or for sale?
We're gonna give them away. Not selling them. Yeah.
I'm gonna say you can make some money, dude. Because I will pay. I haven't had tamales in a while. I'll pay a good price.
So we got some visor for the douchiest tamale.
Maybe just a visor for the douchiest person of the past 15 years. You know, we'll just have.
We have an
online poll for the best poet in the last 15 years.
Wow.
So you can check that out on Facebook. The winner gets that Atari thing.
How do they do? We can post a link from that. Where?
I'll post it on your page.
We'll share it.
Here's another good one. A bear walks into a bar.
That's 2 jokes, dude.
Well, yeah, this is posthumous.
Yeah, this is just.
And a bear walks into a bar and he goes, "Bartender, I'll have a Jack and Coke." And the bartender says, "What's with the pause? I was born with them."
Yeah, dude. 2 lions were taking a shower together. First lion says, "Pass the soap." The other lion said, "No soap radio."
That's what I learned, man. That's a thing. Like, I learned that's a freaking thing. That's the unlimited possibilities of that joke.
But I like the duck version.
Yeah, I will say that's now in my brain the original version.
Yeah, that's the only I've heard till tonight.
No.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Because ducks in a bathtub sounds like something. You know, and pass me the soap. Yeah. It's really lions.
What does one elephant say to the other elephant in a bathtub? No soap radio.
Yeah, that's too many random elephants. Yeah. Why are elephants in the bathtub?
2 ducks in the bathtub. I get that.
Yeah. Once it could be rubber ducks. I always thought it was rubber ducks for a while. It makes sense. That was where the joke lie.
Makes sense.
But never figured out where it did lie.
Well, that's what Wikipedia's for. It's a traditional punchline for a prank joke.
So it is nonsense.
Yeah.
It is pure nonsense.
It was made in the 40s. The punchline is known for its use as a basic sociological and physiological experiment, specifically relating to a mob mentality and the pressure to conform.
Yeah.
To where you have to laugh because you're set up with the punchline. And it makes no sense.
And you ask them, did you get it? And you're like, yeah, I get it. And then they really don't get it.
You really did it.
That's
it. Wow. There's actually a whole wiki page for No Soap Radio. Wow.
So, in that experiment, we all pretty much did not get it, though.
Like, no, yeah.
We laughed.
We straight up, we followed suit.
Yeah.
We laughed, and I went, what does that mean?
It's absurdity.
Way to go, Shaggy.
Did you laugh out of peer pressure? No, right?
No.
Yeah, there's no peer pressure in this room.
No.
Is there?
No.
There is.
Oh, there is. Mm.
Absolutely.
White people.
But the peer pressure that there is would make us, forces us to say, no, man, there's no peer pressure. Yeah. So, Shaggy, thank you so much for joining us, man. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Jess, any news coming up?
We do have some cool news. There's actually have an anniversary release online distribution of Larry and Regan comedic duos Big Red and Barbacoa. This is a very, very, very special piece to us. It is Larry and Regan's hour-long comedy special that we sold on DVDs. That it is monumental to us because the filming of that and the selling of the DVDs of that helped basically produce our first movie called Blood Cousins. And here in town and where Larry and Regan have been and toured, they've sold the DVD, and now we're going to put it online, and there will be bundle deals where you can get Blood Cousins and the comedy special put together for a super awesome price. And also for people who have never really been to Texas or just heard this podcast and never seen or heard Larry and Regan's stand-up, like, just from an outsider point of view, it's fucking awesome. Like, it's really fucking good. Not because Larry and Regan are my friends. It's. I always say this. It's Larry and Regan are my friends because they're funny. I don't think they're funny because they're my friends. Thanks. That's what I always say. So it'll be out there. We'll have a website for it, and we'll have a deal for you and all that good stuff. But in the meantime, if you want to see Blood Cousins, bloodcousinsmovie.com, use the code FiestaTube. You can see it for $5. It's a great fucking movie, cool movie. And thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. That's always appreciated. But you can get older episodes at comediaagogo.com for all the old shit. It'll trip your mind. You can listen to Shaggy's old episode. Good stuff. comediaagogo.com. Hashtag public access at ComediaGoGo, Facebook, Happy Campers Facebook group. Be a part of our show. It's lots of fun. Thanks a bunch.
And, you know, the best thing about Big Red and Barbacoa, our DVD, you know, we shot it in 2009, sold it in 2009. It's 5-year anniversary in September. And it cost us $250 to make that, right? We profited very well from that. And we are equivalent as far as price and marketing to Welcome to Mooseport, starring Ray Romano. Our big fan and friend stars Sliva actually posted a pawn shop in Corpus Christi that she found Big Red and Barbacoa in a bin for $5 right next to Welcome to Mooseport with Ray Romano for the exact same price. That film probably cost probably $1 million to make.
Oh, no, it cost more than that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look at us.
We're San Antonio's Welcome to Mooseport.
That's right, dude.
Yeah.
We did it.
It's the jam. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but when you see it, you're like, oh, holy shit. It's the jam. It's fucking awesome. You're going to like it. It's going to be really good.
So thank you once again, Shaggy, for joining us on Public Access. I can't wait for Jay versus Jason. The political campaign and Jay LaFar, you've been challenged. I hope you accept. Guys, thank you for tuning in once again. This is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll fuck you later. No Soap Radio.